Welcome back to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. On August 10th, British adventurer Dave Cornthwaite jumped into the Missouri River for a 1,000-mile swim. It was the latest in a series of journeys of at least 1,000 miles using non-motorized transport to raise money for charities. For this journey, he was raising money for the breast cancer awareness organization Copperfield. Before a swim down the Missouri, he also took a paddleboard down the Mississippi River, pedaled a tandem bike from Vancouver, British Columbia to Las Vegas, and sailed down across the Pacific on a scientific research yacht. Dave Cornthwaite finished his 58-day swim down the Missouri on Saturday at the Gateway Arch in St. Louis, and he's with us on the line. Dave, welcome back to Dakota Midday.
Carl, it's good to be back. Thank you for having me.
So how do you feel now, a few days after finishing your swim down the Missouri?
I'll be honest, I'm pretty exhausted right now, but at the same time, just wonderfully happy and elated to have completed it. I was very ready to finish.
I'm wondering, as we started moving into late September to October, the temperature of the river, did that start getting rather cold during the last part of the swim?
You've hit the nail on the head, actually. The temperature decreased by over 15 degrees Fahrenheit between the lake system in South Dakota and the lower section of the river from, I suppose, St. Joseph, Missouri down, and it was just terrifically, uncomfortably cold. As I approached St. Louis, we had a few delays through food poisoning and other illnesses, and so we needed to spend a huge amount of time in the water. In the last 2 weeks, I didn't actually stand on land during daylight hours. It was 7 to 7 every day, swimming 12 hours a day in cold water, and it's taken an awful lot out of me, way more than anything any other journey I've completed has done.
Why is that?
Well, I think first of all, the body just uses so much energy when you're in cold situations. So that alone, and then of course add on the exhaustion of simply swimming constantly, kicking when I was snacking on my raft, or then swimming, pulling my raft, and the swimming itself was about 8 or 9 hours each day. So add them all together, plus the combined fatigue of going for 58 solid days. It was a real challenge, but I'm ever so glad that we made it work. It was something beyond almost anything I've ever done before, that people looked at me and said, "You're crazy. This is frankly impossible." Especially because I wasn't a swimmer beforehand.
Do you feel like you're a swimmer now?
It's a strange one. I've actually I've started writing a book about this journey, and it's going to be called "Are You the Swimmer?" And that was a question that was asked pretty much everywhere we went. Even though I was surrounded by my team, who were all paddling alongside, were dressed in normal clothes and held paddles, and there I was in my goggles and wetsuit, people still felt inclined to say, "Are you the swimmer?" Often I replied, "Of course not." So I honestly still don't feel like a swimmer. It's been an incredible 2 months, and I most certainly was the swimmer for that period. But now I'm experiencing some downtime, and I'm not entirely sure I'll be swimming in the near future.
What were some of the biggest challenges of the swim? I'm thinking that you must have had to deal with barge traffic and floating logs and things like that.
I think the largest challenge was the cold water towards the end, which we've already discussed. There were some barges, but on the Missouri, they're incredibly small and few and far between. So in comparison, the Mississippi River last year is hugely industrial, and there's a great deal of traffic. So that wasn't so much of an issue. There are intrinsically just plenty of obstacles in the water. The current itself wasn't a problem. I think when the Missouri's outside of flood stages, like you saw last year, it's an incredibly wonderful, slow-moving, placid river. I think the average speed is about 3 miles an hour, so it was more than sufficient enough to move me along at the same time as being safe as I swam. But I did, I think, 6 or 7 times swim into deadheads or obstacles, submerged logs, which lurked below the surface and showed no signs of being there until I hit them. And even now I still have quite a large cut on my right foot from where I swam into a log just south of Yankton, and that was That was about 5 weeks ago.
Were there certain stretches of the river that were more of a challenge than others?
I think the top 180 miles from Chamberlain down to Yankton, which is a lake system. It's above two sets of dams. And out of those 180 miles, there's about 125 miles of absolutely zero current. So that was my stomping ground, I suppose. That's where I really learned how to swim and had no option but to swim. Otherwise, I wasn't getting anywhere. I think that, without question, was the most challenging section. We had much longer days below Gavin's Point down at Yankton, and all of the way down to St. Louis, we really needed to make our miles up from the time we'd lost in the upper section. There was no section of river without its challenges, but without question, the lakes up top, without the current, were the hardest.
What was there a favorite part of the river, or favorite moments, or certain days when it maybe was a little bit more fun?
I think the last section of the Missouri from Kansas City down to St. Louis is absolutely beautiful. I spent a little bit of time floating and not swimming in that section, just with my head out of the water, taking everything in. I'd always been adamant that I wouldn't do a swimming journey purely because I didn't believe I'd see anything. And so I really wanted to just take in where I was rather than having my head in water where visibility is less than 2 inches all of the time. And it's a beautiful section. There's huge 500 to 600 meter sandbars. There's beautiful 100-foot bluffs towering over the river. It's an astounding part of the world and somewhere I'm very fond of now.
I imagine that you know the Missouri River better than probably most anyone now.
I guess in many ways I do. I don't think anyone has swum this far, certainly this far in the Missouri. And I think someone told me the other day that this is something like the sixth or seventh longest swim in history, and the only one of its kind where someone was actually pulling their gear on a raft. So I definitely feel like I know the Missouri. I know I love just submerging myself in water. Having been a paddler beforehand and stand-up paddled or canoed or rafted or kayaked for many, many months on other rivers, I was always intrigued to see exactly how it felt to be in the water as opposed to on top of it. And now I have a much better opinion and experience of that. It's been a real pleasure just being in water solidly for 2 months.
Part of taking this adventure, taking the swim down the Missouri River, was to raise money for a breast cancer awareness organization. Was that very successful, raising funds?
It was a really, really important part of the journey. And I have to be completely honest here. I am ever so disappointed with the lack of funds that we've raised. We've raised less than $8,000 in total for Copperfield. And there's absolutely nothing else we could have done. We had an amazing PR campaign. We had brilliant social media with tens of thousands of people following us around the world. And yet we raised an absolute fraction of what we were hoping to. I'm kind of at a loss to say why that is. We didn't have a brilliant media turnout from, I suppose, when we left South Dakota. It became harder and harder, but it is what it is, and there are other aspects to the adventure that were a complete success. Of course, we made it, and that's the most important thing.
After finishing a trip like this, you mentioned it's physically exhausting. How about emotionally?
I think emotionally it's perhaps more exhausting than anything. Of course, there's a physical aspect to it, but and my body will just naturally take time to recover from the rigors it's been through. But emotionally, it's something I'm used to. I'm used to being away for months on end, and then coming off and basically having to reforge my identity. And this is no different. I think the harder the expedition is, and the longer you've been away, the more difficult it is to re-engage in, not necessarily society, but a brand new life. So, I'm I'm not feeling too lost at the moment. I've decided for the first time in my life that I'm actually not going back to London, which has always been the magnet drawing me home post-expedition, but it's never quite worked for me there, returning to a place and seeing, you know, familiarity and meeting people that I know, but through completely different eyes. So I'm actually in St. Louis now. I'm here for 10 days writing the book, and then I'll continue back up to the Missouri for a couple of hundred miles, and then restart a speaking tour called the Say Yes More Tour. And I'm currently taking bookings all over the States for that over the next 3 months. So I'm feeling good. I'm trying to put my mind in a positive place and just reminisce a little bit, decompress from this incredible adventure.
Now, you mentioned writing the book now, speaking tour. Do you know when you'll take your next adventure?
Brilliantly, no. I haven't stopped. I haven't taken a day off for 7 years since I quit my job as a graphic designer and decided I was going to skateboard across Australia. So I've made a conscious decision that now I'm ready to write. My body's tired. It needs a bit of rest. I've done 5 big expeditions in the last year and a half. And I'm really excited about the fact that apart from a couple of speaking engagements in mid-November, I have absolutely nothing planned for the rest of my life. It's beautifully liberating, and undoubtedly there will be more adventures down the line. I still have 18 1,000-plus mile journeys to accomplish if I'm going to achieve my goal. But I think the next one won't be for a year or so.
Remind us what that goal is.
So I have a project called Expedition 1000. The idea is to do 25 different journeys of 1,000 miles or more, and each journey uses a different form of non-motorized transport. More often than not, I begin using that form of transport on day one of each journey. I wasn't a swimmer before this trip, and I've managed to show that as long as you have the right mindset, a positive attitude, and the will to see it through to the end, anyone can achieve this. Also, at the same time, I want to raise 1 million British pounds, which is just under 1.6 million US dollars for the breast cancer awareness charity Copperfield. And I'll continue doing that right up. And I don't know how long it will take. I've completed 7 now, including this swim. So with another 18 to go, I feel like I'm barely started.
Well, Dave Cornthwaite, nice to talk with you again. Congratulations on accomplishing this amazing feat, and it's good to know that you made it safe and sound.
Carl, thanks ever so much for your support all the way down. And if people would like to either donate or simply see videos and pictures of the journey, they can do so on swim1000.com.
That's swim1000.com. Dave, again, thanks so much for joining us on Dakota Midday.
Thank you, Carl.
That's Dave Cornthwaite, British adventurer. He completed his 1,000-mile swim down the Missouri River. He started out in Chamberlain on August 10th and wrapped things up this past weekend in St. Louis.